Thank you. How's it going, guys? Is the lunch good? That looks good. I can't wait to eat some of that when I get done here. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback on what Courtney was saying, to encourage you guys, I'll never forget my grandfather was just such a, thank you, was such a hero in my life growing up. And he passed away when I was 11 years old when he passed away, but just such a huge influence in my life. I remember him, he used to say, and he's about this tall. He wasn't much taller than me, just a little bitty guy, but he was a World War II veteran, just tough from the streets of Philadelphia, grew up, I mean, just tough guy. And he said, anything worthwhile never comes easy, you know? And I think that God has spoken to all of you guys. Some of you have had a little bit more experience than others. Some of you are just kind of getting started with this. This is worthwhile. God's put this in your heart. We see it. God sees it to teach at any different level, wherever God's going to open that door for you to do that. And I know it's challenging, but God's stretching you. Let him stretch you. And let him expand the capacity in you to lead, to teach, to do these things. We love you guys, and we're in your corner. So just keep at it. We're proud of you guys. And again, nothing worthwhile doesn't come. It doesn't come easy. It takes some work. It takes some dedication. And so, just want to encourage you guys with that. Well, I'm going to jump right in because I know you guys have got to get back to work and all that. And first two meetings, Pastor Talia just did an incredible job teaching you guys about teaching and about communicating. And today, I'm going to be talking to you about the title of "May I Have Your Attention, Please?" is kind of what it's called. And I'm going to talk about just kind of this part, this element of when it comes to teaching, when it comes to preaching, communicating, not an element that I'm not a master at, but it's actually sometimes my favorite part of teaching, and it's how do you really engage your listeners? How do you really connect with them in a different way when you speak, when you teach? And so let me start off by asking you a question. Who are some of your favorite communicators and why? Does a couple of you want to share who are some of your favorite communicators of God's Word? And why are they your favorite communicator? Francis Chan. Francis Chan. Cool. Why?
Great insight.
They can
take pretty deep thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Love his teaching. Who else? Is there some others?
Joyce Meyer.
Joyce Meyer. Yeah. Why do you like Joyce Meyer so much? Yeah. 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 My best friend. We grew up together in Texas, and then we were in college at different colleges in Springfield, Missouri, and we lived together for 1 year. And I remember he used to listen to this tape of. Honestly, I thought it was a man with her voice, and the whole time it was Joyce Meyer. I knew who she was, but I had never heard her. Like, and he would listen to these audio tapes. I'm like, who is this guy? And he goes, well, first, it's a lady. He's like, this is Joyce Meyer, man. And he got all offended, and he loves her, and we began to listen to her stuff, and she is a great communicator. You said Stephen Furtick, yeah? He does. Yeah. That's awesome. There's so many different types of communicators out there, and they're all different, have different personalities. I love Pastor Jeremy. I really, not just because he's my pastor, but I really do think he's one of the best communicators I've ever heard. One thing about him and Andy Stanley, if you've ever heard Andy Stanley, I love how they can take a passage, they can take the Word of God and just make it so practical, you know? He speaks to so well to someone in the room who's been in church their whole life and knows the Word of God really well. And they walk away with something, and also to the person that's brand new, may have walked into church for the very first time in their whole life and have never heard the Word of God communicated before. I think they're so good at that, so practical. Pastor Talia is just an incredible teacher. Man, she just, when she teaches, you know she's been meeting with Jesus. I mean, it's just the passion that comes through. Stephen Furtick, T.D. Jakes, they're definitely ones that just great inspirational communicators, can get all crazy, and just it's just awesome. And then there's other people, like one of my favorite communicators is a guy who's a missionary named Dick Brogdon, and he's very just laid back, but he helped write the Live Dead Journal. He's been in some of the most challenging countries over the last 20, 30 years as a missionary, but the guy is just I mean, just you spent so much time abiding in Jesus. That's his thing. And you can just tell the way he speaks. And he's so soft-spoken. He doesn't get up or down when he communicates. And yet he can speak in a just kind of laid-back, you know, monotone. But it's so powerful at the same time. He pulls you in, and it's just incredible. So I say all that to just say that there's different styles, and you have your own style, and you discover that style as you continue to communicate, you continue to teach. Don't try to be Stephen Furtick when you're not. Don't try to be Joyce Meyer. Don't try to be, you know, Francis Chan when you're not. Be who you are, who God's called you to be, and be open to the teaching, to people speaking to you and encouraging you in that. So back to what you've learned the first couple times, the number one goal, right, in teaching, biblical teaching, is what? Transformation. Absolutely. That is the goal. And today I want to talk with you a little bit about the interaction that we have with those who we're teaching. Okay? And so obviously we all want to connect with those that we're listening, that are listening to us and what we're sharing. We want them to be impacted by what we teach and we preach, and we want them to feel moved towards what? Towards action, right? And so how do we read our audience? How do we know that they're with us and they're getting the message? Sometimes you look out in the crowd, doesn't matter how animated you are, how pumped up you are, sometimes there's that old gentleman there that sleeps through every sermon. And if you focus on that guy, I wouldn't talk about you. How do you read your audience? How do you know that they're with you and that they're getting the message? And whether you're in a group setting, leading a group, whether you're in a living room or a coffee shop, a classroom, or you're preaching to a congregation in the worship center, we want to know that our listeners are not just hearing what we're teaching, what we're communicating, what's being taught. We want them to retain it, right? We really do. We want them to walk away from it, retaining and learning what was taught. So how do we keep their attention, and how do we help them apply what's being taught? And so listen to this for a second. So again, the number one goal is transformation. So if teaching can become interactive and experiential, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit. Not only are we communicating what we've studied and we prepared, and we're verbally teaching it to them, but if it can become somehow interactive and experiential too, on some level, the listener will be more engaged in what you're teaching than ever before. And there's different ways to do that. If they're engaged, then they're going to remember it better if they're engaged, okay, on some level. And if they remember it better, then they can more effectively apply it to their everyday life, right? And if application is successful after all of that, then there will be what? Transformation, right? So being interactive, if there's a way you can make it interactive, experiential, it just helps them to understand it more and learn it better in a way that it becomes transformation. So how do we do this? Well, I've got some good news for you and some bad news, and I'm going to start off with the bad news. Is that okay? Here's the bad news. It's not easy, number one. It's just not. I am not the most creative person in the world. And so sometimes when you're preparing for a message and you want to make it experiential, you want to make it a little bit more interactive, it's hard. You got to be creative there. So it's not always easy. But the cool thing is we have God to help us. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. Research suggests that the average person hears between 20 and 30,000 words during the course of a 24-hour period. So over the next 24 hours, you're going to hear anywhere from 20 to 30,000 words. I didn't realize that. That's a lot of words that you hear through conversation, through television, through radio, through whatever, however it's being brought to you. Even though your ears are capable of picking up on so many words, your brain, my brain, doesn't necessarily process all of those 20 to 30,000 words. Amen? I know mine don't. Okay? Most people usually only remember about 17 to 25% of the things they listen to. That's a little depressing, you know, when you've got all this information coming to you. And as you're a communicator or a teacher, that can be a little bit of some bad news. Check this out. We retain 10% of what we see. We retain 10% of what we see. We retain 30 to 40% of what we see and hear. So you're kind of adding both elements. You're not just teaching them, but you're trying to show them in some form or fashion. Now, we retain 90% of what we see hear, and do. And if you can somehow, I know it doesn't work with every teaching, every message, but if you can somehow try to incorporate all three into your message, 90%, that's encouraging, right? So here's what Confucius said. He said, "What I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I understand." I think there's a lot of truth to that. So how do we do this with communicating? But that was the bad news, all those percentages and how many words we take in every day and how much we actually retain. The good news is, again, we have the Lord's help. And we have the Holy Spirit's help. And guys, if you don't bathe your teaching, bathe your group study, your message, your sermon in prayer, and ask for the Holy Spirit's help from the very beginning through the whole process to the very end, and even as you get ready to teach and ask the Holy Spirit one more time, am I right in line with you? And I don't mean to scare you, but sometimes anybody that's done it long enough can know that God may switch gears on you, and you just got to trust the Holy Spirit to allow you to do that. He will help you, and he'll help you communicate in a way that people retain a ton of the information. I truly believe that the Lord can help us as teachers, as leaders in the church, to teach, to communicate God's word in such creative ways that people retain more of what is taught and where transformation takes place. We have to push ourselves, though. We've got to push ourselves to learn not just how to give a good talk or give a good lesson. We have to actually learn to take people on a journey. That's really, you know, if you're going to teach a group, if you're going to teach a Starting Point or Grow Track, Encounter, or you're going to be preaching a sermon, look at it that way. Think of it that way, that I want to take them on a journey through this particular passage that I feel God has led me to speak in, or the topic that was given to me. I want to take them on a journey. We read the percentages of what people actually retain, and this is difficult, and it becomes even more challenging in our day as there are more and more advancements in technology, right? It just becomes harder for us, and how easily people can access information. You know, it used to be that, you know, when I was really little, or when my parents were growing up, or grandparents, right, they leaned on the communicator to give them all these facts. But now your listeners can just Google search stuff. They can get all the facts just at the snap of a finger, right, through their phone, through different ways. And so it's a lot more challenging today with technology. Today's emerging generations no longer need the informed to be the informer. That's just a reality. And so we really need God's help to communicate in a way that people are going to hear something that, number one, from God, that leads to transformation, but here's something maybe that they've not heard before, or hear it in a different way than they've never heard it before. They don't necessarily need the teacher or the preacher to be the one to give them all the information anymore. The internet has given them unprecedented access of information that's only a few clicks away. And they can get the statistics, they can get the facts, they can get those things. And this is a big shift in the last 20, 30 years. And this shift has also brought a shift in learning styles, the way people learn. And we have to adapt to that. The message stays the same, but the method has to change a little bit, right, through time. So what does this mean? It means that experience, it's got to be an experience that's interactive and relational, not only to attract younger generations, but it is the key to teaching and educating them as well. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I may remember. Involve me and I learn." I love that quote. And it really speaks to what we're talking about. What if we attempted to move the teacher, group leader, preacher from a lesson giver, teacher, teaching giver, sermon giver to a narrator telling a story? And that's what I want us to kind of think about today, is being a narrator who tells a story. I mean, that's what Jesus did. He used parables. He used stories. It worked for him then. It would work for us today. I want to give you a quick example of one of my just favorite messages that I've ever done through the years, because I just love the story. How many of you know in Luke chapter 7, the story of Jesus anointing the sinful woman? The reason I love that message so much and that story and using it is because there's just so much happening that you can touch, taste, and feel. You can get your people to touch it, be there, be in the room, be in the setting. I'm not going to read through the whole passage, but basically Jesus is invited to Simon's house, this Pharisee. He's probably being invited there, not because he really wants to hang out with Jesus, but it's more he's skeptical of Jesus, and he wants to get face-to-face with Jesus and try to figure out what's up with this guy? Let's see if we can trap him kind of in a conversation over dinner and prove him wrong, and it's the setting in a living room where imagine a table that's lower to the floor. There's no chairs, right? Jesus and Simon and the other men, they're kind of just relaxed laying on the floor, maybe, you know, propped up on an elbow, eating and talking. And the room, if you look into it, the room is full of people. Let's just say it's an open-air living room, and there's people outside, and there's people lined in the room. Let's say the table's right here in the middle, and there's just people watching. Why? Because they're watching them and listening to them because they want to hear Jesus. They want to hear what he has to say. They want to hear the discussion, the teaching, right? And you can kind of invite your people, take a passage like that, and you invite them into that situation. And then all of a sudden, when I preached that message, I talked about how many of you have had some awkward moments in your life. And I talk through that. And I talk about, I just find personal examples or moments that I have had awkward moments. I remember preaching this one time right after I came home from France, and I talked about my year, 2 years of total awkward moments being from Southeast Texas and moving to Paris, France, and didn't know the language. The toilets were different. Amen. The lines, having to figure out what line was what in a grocery store when I couldn't read it. I mean, just, I had to pay to go to the toilet and didn't understand. I mean, just, you know, and, you know, Turkish toilets. You never knew there was a Turkish toilet and what that is. And my kids called it a turkey toilet. So I just would talk through all that to kind of pull them in because we've all experienced awkward moments. And then I would transition to the awkward moment when this woman walks into the room, to that big room full of people. And the thing is she's not just any woman. She's this, they say that she was a prostitute. So everybody in town knew who this woman was and what she did for a living. It took a lot of guts, number one, for any woman to step into this house and walk over to Jesus. Like, she's actually kind of risking her life to do this. But they're sitting there eating dinner. They're having this conversation. All these people are watching. And you just kind of pull your crowd, your listeners, into that moment, and you begin to talk through what this woman did in front of everybody and how awkward that was, but yet for Jesus, it was a beautiful moment because he understood her true heart and what she was willing to get past all of that. She didn't care how awkward it was. She just had to get to Jesus, and then she had that jar of perfume, right, the most expensive thing she owned, and she poured it at Jesus' feet, and then I would walk back and say, Simon didn't greet him in the customary way. Normally, when they would walk in, they would have a wash for their feet because they wore sandals, right, or whatever kind of shoes. There were no paved roads. Can you imagine what people's feet look like back in the day when they would show up to someone's house? No wonder they wanted their feet washed because they're walking down dusty roads. Animals are going to the bathroom in the road. Who knows what they've walked through? And yet she's down there washing his feet with her tears, with her hair, with his perfume. And just the difference between the woman and Simon didn't even greet him with a kiss, right? Because that was customary as he walked in the door. But yet she kissed his feet, his dirty feet. He was Jesus, but he still had some dirty feet, right? You know? And so you just walk through that. I love that passage. I just use that as an example of, like, when you get into the scriptures, there's so many ways you can, like, relate it back to people where they can kind of smell it, touch it, understand it, relate to the setting, relate to the situation through your own personal experiences. But if you can figure out a way to relate it back to people that way, it makes such a big difference, and they can relate to it and retain it. What if the narrator is also a guide along a path of experience? The word of God is no longer simply heard, but it's also experienced. So that's something to remember. I believe that the Lord can help us take people on a journey, not just to learn about a teaching, but also experience God's word and begin to retain it so much more. So, and that will bring about incredible transformation. And let's not forget that the church has the greatest story ever told. The story has the power of God to transform lives. And there's such a power in that story, his story. One last illustration here before I jump into some points for you guys. How many of you play guitar or just kind of play around with a guitar? Anybody? I don't, but a few of you guys. You have the different strings on a guitar. Did you know that when you put your face next to the A string on a guitar and you begin to hum an A, the string will begin to vibrate, okay, on that guitar. I didn't know that, but I found that out. The D string, the G, the A, all these other strings won't do that, but the A, it will. Why? Because it's created to vibrate with that specific tone, okay? And why am I saying that? The thing about the story, God's story, right? His whole story is that when it's supported in a sensory way, that means you can feel it, something inside of our heart starts to vibrate. Your listeners, something starts to vibrate in their heart as they're listening. Because regardless of whether we are a Christian or not, because we were created for our hearts to vibrate with that story, the greatest story ever told. And it's kind of like that guitar. And so if you can get people to kind of feel the story and experience the story in a way like that, their heart begins to hum to that and vibrate to that because it's God's story. Isn't that cool? So here we go. How do we be intentional with getting people's attention? Here's a couple practical things that I wanted to share with you guys. Number one is ask an attention-getting question. When you're communicating, especially maybe at the beginning, if God is so good, then why do such bad things happen in our world? That's going to be a question that kind of gets their attention, because they've probably asked that question before themselves or are going through a tough time in their life or have. There's different questions that you can ask to really grab their attention, especially at the beginning of a message. Number two is make an attention-getting statement. Today I'm going to teach you how to ruin your marriage in three easy steps, right? Today I'm going to teach you how to ruin your marriage in three easy steps. Right, not how to help your marriage. They've heard that. But you say ruin your marriage, that all of a sudden just kind of grabs their attention with this statement of like, what's this guy talking about? And then you just kind of trick them in that sense. And you begin to show, well, this is what ruins marriages. But here's what helps marriages. Here's what makes marriages healthy, right? And so there's statements, there's questions that kind of grab their attention from the very beginning. Number three is give startling facts and statistics. I'm a statistics guy. I find those interesting. Some people may not, but I use them a lot. But one in three marriages will end in divorce. You give statistics like that. If you're talking on, let's say marriage, you can give these statistics that just show the weight, the reality of what you're trying to communicate, what's going on, right? So there's lots of statistics and facts. Number four is use humor. I'm not the best at this. I'll admit it. I'm not the funniest guy in the world. But if you can use it to your advantage, try to use it. You know, I think about a year ago, I think it was a year ago or a couple years ago, I got to speak on a Sunday morning. It was that series we did called Juice. Do you guys remember that? We were talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And Pastor Jeremy asked me to speak on patience, basically. And so I remember telling this story about how our heart, and I even ended up having Justin and the guys use this in that teaching for the men, the home invasion, but this idea that our heart, right, that it's not good, right? Our heart is evil. We're sinners, right? And that your mom and dad, you know, your mom when you're little says, oh, well, he's a good boy. She's a good girl. She's just a good, no, we're not. We're not. Your mama lied to you. And just, you know, just using this idea, whenever you can use humor, whenever you can try to find something funny, make fun of yourself. I try to do that. You know, if I have stories that make fun of myself even, whatever's going to get them relax, get them engaged, get them laughing. Humor is always just a great way to get people engaged when you can. Number five is know your audience. You always want to know your audience. I think Pastor Ty has kind of touched on that a little bit the last couple of times that we've talked, but you know, I can't speak to here on a Sunday morning in the worship center the same way I would to go over to Timber Creek students. I've got to change that up because it's a different audience. You know, the length of the message has got to change, right? Teenagers, you know, when I did youth ministry for 7 years, I tried really hard to make a goal of 20 minutes, 25 minutes to just keep it right there because I knew that teenagers, right, they just have a short attention span. And even adults do now, too. It seems like shorter and shorter all the time. But know who your audience is. Funny story, can I tell y'all the most terrified I ever was speaking in front of a group of individuals? When I was getting ready to go to France to be a missionary, I was going back and forth. We were living in Michigan, but I was going back to Kansas a lot because I was a Kansas missionary, and I got opportunities to speak in some of the churches. Well, the church that Pastor Dan was at the time, Bethel Life Center, where Pastor Jeremy was a youth pastor years ago, they asked me to come on a Wednesday night, and I got to speak to an adult class about what I was doing in France. And then they said, hey, would you come and just share a little bit with the missionettes class? Well, missionettes are little girls, okay? And I thought, sure, yeah, that's fine, you know. And I thought it'd just be this, like, classroom full of a few little girls. And I remember the children's pastor walking me all the way across the campus, and we're just talking. And she opens the door, and I kid you not, there was like 100 little girls on this floor, and I've never been so terrified in my life. I walked in, and I just thought, oh, no, like, how do I keep their, you know, and I just didn't think through it. You know, you got to know your audience. You know, I can't speak to this 100 little girls on the floor just like I did to the adults 20 minutes ago, a room full of adults. And so you just have to know your audience and prepare for that. That's important. Number six is involve props, pictures, and visual illustrations anytime you can. You don't do it every time, but there's just moments where you can really bring a point or bring the whole heart of the message to life through props, pictures, illustrations. You know, help bring the light, bring to life what you're communicating. John Medina tells us in his book, Brain Rules, that retention goes up from 10% to 65% when pictures are used, just simply using pictures. So even just a small picture here and there to communicate what you're saying can help so much. One of my favorite communicators is Louis Giglio. I love him. And he did a message not too long ago on fear. And he took an old-time tape recorder up on stage, and I think he had it connected to, like, the full audio. But it was like this mechanical voice just using all these statements of fear. And he would play it, and it sounded kind of wicked, you know, but it was like the whole idea was the thought, the voice in the back of your head, that the enemy always giving us these statements of fear that keep us fearful. And he would play it, and he just let it play. And it was just quiet in the play, you know, just illustrations like that. He also did another message where he used the 23rd Psalm, and, you know, God makes a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And he set up a table out in the crowd and had fruit and pastries. And he just sat down and was eating fruit while he preached. You know, just little things like that that can just really get people more and more engaged is super helpful. So use those when you can. Another good example, John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. In the Gospel of John, the word light is used 24 times in that gospel, right? Just in that chapter alone, it's mentioned three times in that passage, okay? And so I remember preaching on that on a Sunday night in Kansas in an adult service, and there was a point where I began to read that passage, and I told the guy, turn all the lights off when I start to read it. And so nobody knew it was going to happen, but the lights just went out. But the mic was still working, and I continued to read that passage. And then when I said light, every time I said light those three times, I had somebody turn on a lighter, and all of a sudden it began to, and then they lit candles. It was just to illustrate darkness to light, you know, just to kind of bring that passage to life a little bit. So you can think of different ways to bring things to light with props and different things like that. And so number seven is go directly to the passage of Scripture that you're teaching from. Sometimes a passage or just a Scripture it's sometimes just best to just go directly to it because it speaks for itself. I think of Psalm 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who hasn't felt that way before, right, in some situation, in some capacity? And sometimes it's great to just, boom, go straight to that verse because it speaks for itself. Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? And you can just go right directly to that. Scripture is so powerful in that way. My favorite style of preaching, or, you know, when I was taught in Bible college, there's topical sermons, textual sermons, and expository sermons. You know, textual being a particular text that you want to use, topical being just the topic of marriage, for instance. Expository is using an entire passage. It's a little harder, but I love that. It's kind of like chapter 7 there in Luke. I just love that whole story. And when you can, I just feel like it gives you the ability to take somebody on a journey. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that whole story, being able to read the whole passage, you know, whether you read the whole thing at one time or you just read a little bit and you stop. I did that with the message I did last year with Hannah and Samuel, right? I would read a little bit and stop. When you can just take them in an expository way, the whole passage, the whole chapter, and just kind of walk them through it, it's powerful. You can just go directly to the passage, directly to Scripture. Number eight, you want to provide an interesting story. when you can. This is huge. A lot of time, you know, stories stick. They really do. What really works is the shared story between you, the teacher, and the listener. So it's good to share those stories, but man, when you can make sure that that story is something you know most people in the crowd or a few people in the crowd have had that same experience, there's something about that when you can pull them into the story and you can share your own experience and how God helps you walk through it or your response to that situation and tie that into the message. It's huge. Make it personal. Tell personal stories from your experiences in life. A lot of times, as a parent with three kids, my kids come out and just about every teaching, every message that I do, because they're constantly doing stuff, funny stuff, or we've been through tough stuff, you know. I think about Landon's injury, you know, three years ago, and just that whole walk of that whole situation and how that's come out in a lot of my messages and stuff. And so it's the same for you guys. You're just finding an opportunity to connect with them through your personal stories that you share. Okay, I've listed like 8 quick things. Is there anything else that has helped you guys or that you've thought of that helps you connect and interact with people to help them understand the message even more clearly? Is there anything that you guys have used or thought of? Or did I cover them all? Am I that good? We get them all? Yeah.
Very logical with information, but the group had to be different because the guy, and I'm learning this, you know, with the interaction with the guys that are in the group, they love it because they get to fellowship with each other.
Yeah.
And they get to share their, you know, they share that experience. So questions, really, especially in that group setting, is really critical.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And in that group setting, it's so important. Like we do in our group training, we always say like 30% you talking, 70% them. And that's only going to happen a lot of times through lots of great questions that you can try to slip in there and get people talking and stuff. And so, and then I love even too, just in a completely opposite situation in a Sunday morning service where you're asking questions that they don't necessarily all answer out loud, but you really get them thinking, you know, and so lots of different ways, but at the end of this, it's how do we take them on a journey? How do we take them on a journey to experience that passage, what God wants to communicate that day, to lead them towards transformation, to lead them towards a decision to make Christ number one in their life, or to begin to make that adjustment, that change in their marriage, their personal life, whatever it may be. The bad news is the bad news. I mean, we live in a world today where it's much more challenging to keep people's attention. I notice myself all the time with just cell phones and different things like that I'm constantly on the go, and it's harder and harder for me to focus, and so I can only imagine what it's like sometimes for our listeners. But God is so creative. He's so incredible, and he'll help you and help us to communicate in a way that will grab people's attention, help them retain the information, and then again, lead them towards transformation. You guys have any questions, thoughts on any of that? All right. Yes, sir.
If knowing your audience, I was pastoring in Ely, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday I was preaching, and he came up to me after service and he says, "Pastor, can I meet with you sometime this week?" That's a whole boy. I said, "Yes." So he came, and he had made kind of a list in his mind, and he said, "When you said this, I didn't understand what you were saying. What did you mean by this?" And so I had to break that down into more simple terms. So
yeah.
Understand it. And he kept doing that. And
Yeah.
I said, you might be the only one in this church that's really paying attention to what I'm saying. So I said, please do not stop doing that. And so I had a weekly conversation with the man over things that I had said, either in Sunday school class or in one of the sermons throughout the week. And it helped me.
Yeah, it makes you a better communicator, doesn't it? If you can find that trusted person that, yeah.
I have to learn then to break, not use educated words, but bring words down to where everybody can understand it. And I learned that from listening to Billy Graham. Hmm. Billy Graham never, ever used gigantic words.
Right, yeah.
Words that was highfalutin. He just preached the simple message.
Yeah.
Chance to go to some big conference where there's pastor schools, or that you can learn a lot from going to those type of seminars.
Absolutely. Yeah, just don't ever stop being a student of, especially when it comes to communicating and stuff. There's always ways, always times to grow. I know I've asked Justin to count how many times I say the word right. How many times did I say it that one time in Grow Track? Was it Grow Track? It was like, I'm embarrassed to say, it was, what, 50 times, 40 times that night? It was. Seriously, because there was a break in the middle, and I jokingly said to him, I said, how many times did I say right? And you're like, I think just a couple of times. And I said, well, count this next time. And I think it was my fault for saying that to you, because then it was like subconscious, and I said it like 50 times in the second part of that, only maybe, what, 20-minute teaching. I said, I'm like, is that possible? I haven't? That's good. That's good. I was listening, and now I listen to it. Like Sunday, I was in Starting Point teaching week three, and I heard myself say it a couple times, and I think about Justin. I'm like, man, glad Justin's not in here to get me on it. No. Oh, absolutely. Right. Right. You don't know it. Like, until you actually ask somebody. And I didn't even know. Talia has mentioned it to me and Bonnie. They're like, you know, you say the word right a lot. I'm like, really? I don't even know I'm saying it. And so I've started having people, like, actually count it. And I had him count it that night. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely helpful.
That's what happened. You wouldn't say it right. The minute you brought it to your
knees. Now I'm in trouble. I say it a lot. Well, just one final key thought for you guys. My belief is that when a story becomes personal and people begin to become unsettled and they become challenged by it, then they have become touched by in a place where facts fear to tread. And if you can do that in communicating, and that takes practice, that takes time, that takes prayer, that takes the Holy Spirit's help. But when you begin to do that, that's incredible. And God's really doing what God needs to do through your communicating. It's a place so personal that it can spark an inner transformation. And that's, again, that's the goal. We want to see people experience that transformation. And so, do you use props every single time you teach? No, not necessarily. But whenever, you know, just ask God to help you with that. I'm just another illustration. I remember being in Grow 3 last semester on this side, and we were talking about, you know, just the idea of the potter and the clay in the potter's hand. And I used the illustration of some dried old Play-Doh that if we're not careful, our lives are like that. And I poured it out on a table. It was my kid's Play-Doh that got left out, you know, for weeks, and it got all dried up. But I put Play-Doh out for every single person in the room. And when we ended the class, I said, I want you to pull the Play-Doh out and hold it in your hand. And as we pray, hold it in your hand, just to kind of bring it to life, that that's what our life needs to be like, that let's allow our lives to be that pliable in God's hands as he continues to make us into who he wants us to be. And so just anytime that you can bring it to life and get their attention in a way that it makes it even more interactive and they retain more of it, again, it just brings about so much more transformation. And so, well, guys, if you don't have any other questions or anything, I'm going to close this in prayer. And again, just want to encourage you guys, keep at it. I know this has been a challenge for some of you guys, Candace, you know, to do your homework. And I just straight up called you out. I'm sorry. But we worked together. You did. You have done it. You've done everything you were asked to do, right? I believe. Sort of. Yes. Kicking it. Yes. But that's pretty normal for Candace, kicking and screaming about lots of stuff.
Not really.
Not really. I'm just picking on you. I'm picking on you. Exactly. Yeah. Well, guys, let me pray for you, and then we'll let you go so you can kind of get back to the fun of work and everything else today. Lord, we just love this group. God, I just am so excited for them, and so many of them have already been communicating for a while. Some of them are kind of just really getting this training, getting this teacher training this semester, and beginning to get their feet wet a little bit with getting opportunities to host in different elements of the movement and getting chances to talk to groups. And I know that can be terrifying for some. There might be some in this room that are still thinking, God, are you sure you want to use me in this? And God, I know you do. And God, you've called them to this place, to this spot where they're at right now for a reason. And God, I believe that all of us in this room, definitely myself included, can all get better at communicating your word. God, what an honor it is. What a privilege. What a responsibility it is to stand in front of people, whether it's in a living room for a group or a coffee shop, or whether it's in the worship center on a Sunday morning or a grow track or an encounter. It doesn't matter where it's at. It's a great responsibility, and it's a privilege and an honor to be able to communicate the word of God. And God, I pray that you would just help all of us to get better at it. And God, that we can truly get people's attention and take them on a journey through the word of God. God, that it would not just be us talking to them and them listening, but God, that they walk away thinking, wow, they took me on a journey through a passage that I've heard many times, but I've never seen it from that angle. They brought things out in different ways that I've never seen before. And God, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not us. That's just you working through us. And I pray that you'd use each and every one of these teachers, these leaders, these communicators to grow in that, all of us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you.